Hello and welcome to the Columbus Metropolitan Club on WCBE. Learn more about CMC's weekly events, broadcast, membership, and sponsorship at our website, columbusmetroclub.org, where you can register to attend in person or participate in the live stream of our weekly Wednesday noon forums. Today's forum, Exploring Neighborhoods, Reynoldsburg, was recorded in front of a live audience on April 28, 2021. Speaking are Mayor of the City of Reynoldsburg, Joe Begeni, Superintendent of Reynoldsburg City Schools, Melvin J. Brown, Owner of 1883 Local, Christine Legeski, Director of Development, City of Reynoldsburg, Department of Development, Andrew Bauscher, and our host, Opinion and Community Engagement Editor at the Columbus Dispatch, Amelia Robinson. Let's listen in.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here and I have some very tough questions for the panel, so get ready for that. The first one is purely selfish. I'm new to town. Tell me more about Reynoldsburg and why I should move to Reynoldsburg. What makes it special?
I'll start that one off. First of all, I'd like to thank the Metropolitan Club for having us here today. Reynoldsburg is special because we have something that everybody wants. If you want a kind of like a more urban-esque environment where you have options to walk to a restaurant, to go shopping, then we have that for you. If you're looking more for an old town feel where it's something almost right out of the 1950s and 60s where you have neighborhoods that you wouldn't even know that there are businesses nearby, we have that as well. We also have great housing, and our diversity is now more of a showcase than anything for our city. So you add those things up, we've got something for everybody.
I'll add to that from the school district perspective. It's given us an opportunity to really get an idea of other cultures and how they can immerse together to make a community what it should be. We've, in some ways in the school district, we kind of see ourselves as a microcosm of what the entire country looks like, and we're pretty proud of that. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to come to Reynoldsburg to work in the first place. So we're really proud of that diversity component.
I guess adding to that, I think, what's really great about Reynoldsburg last year, 2020, we were actually named the second hottest real estate market in the country, only following Colorado Springs, so pretty good company there to keep. And so I feel like a lot of the housing that we offer is broad, a very large spectrum. So we have a variety of different members from different socioeconomic backgrounds. And, you know, we're gaining more and more businesses every single day. And I think we have a really strong Napoleon Bhutanese community with some great restaurants that if you're looking to come out and really, you know, be adventurous and try some really great sort of East, you know, Indian type of food, we really have that to offer. And then, of course, our downtown as well. And Christine can speak a little bit further on that.
Yeah, I think how I encourage people right now is Reynoldsburg is right on the cusp of just traveling a brighter future. And I see so much hope with our development and small businesses and what's to come. And I think anybody that moves in now is really just getting the benefit of being a part of all that transition over the next several years and just joining to impact the community and watch it change and evolve and grow. I think Reynoldsburg has a really bright future and it's great to be a part of.
So no place is perfect, not even Reynoldsburg. It sounds pretty cool though. What does Reynoldsburg need to like go to the next level?
I can speak from the school perspective. With transition of folks coming into a community, naturally that means more kids, so therefore we need more space. Some of us from a space standpoint, we have some constraints that we are considering right now. There may be a ballot initiative on in November to address some of those issues, and if that's successful, it'll put us in a really good spot to be able to go into the future for the next 30 to 40 years. But that brings all sorts of financial and construction pains, if you will, to the table that we'd need to deal with at the same time.
I think maybe from the city's perspective, I'd add that, you know, for us, it's all about redevelopment and infill development, especially on our commercial corridors. So in 2018, we created a comprehensive plan for the entire city, and we really took a lot of what MORPC had in their Insight 2050 study, and we actually call these Insight districts in our new zoning code. And for us, it's about, you know, paying homage to the history of the National Road, Main Street, that is Reynoldsburg, but it's also creating a walkable type neighborhood, better access not only to our schools, but our parks and other amenities that we have within the community. So I think when you see development in the future, yes, there's going to be some housing projects and there's going to be some of our outerlying areas, but it's actually creating much more of an urban walkable environment, starting in the heart of Old Reynoldsburg and working out along the corridors.
I think housing is definitely a challenge. There's a housing crisis in general in Central Ohio, affordable housing included, And Reynoldsburg has not had a lot of development in that area over a number of years. So while it does impact the schools, the reality is, as the demographics have changed in our city, school enrollment has increased without any additional housing units. It has grown since when I was on the board, almost 2,000 kids in 4 years. So you're looking at a huge growth factor there. Then the rest of it is now, where do you house these people? Where can people come in and feel welcome into our community? And then that's kind of what our diversity rolls into, is you can walk down the street and see any number of nationalities there, and we want to make sure that Reynoldsburg is a place that welcomes everybody.
I think from a resident perspective, I grew up in the city of Reynoldsburg and throughout the school district. And what I feel like it's missing more now, and there's room for improvement, is just attracting young families and millennials. I have three small children, and Reynoldsburg just kind of had a backward decline in that area from when I was younger. There was a lot of things to do as a kid, and bike and walk distance, and just overall safer and family friendly. And I feel like we kind of got away from that in the past. And so I think there's room for that. And also, I'm excited that the administration does seem to see that need as well.
So Kristen, you're from there. How did the rest of you get to Reynoldsburg? And how has it changed since you've gotten there?
Yeah, so I'll take that. So I actually started, I just started my fourth year here at the city of Reynoldsburg as the development director. I grew up in Grove City, so I'm a Buckeye through and through, and went to Ohio State and have traveled around. I'm a veteran of the U.S. Army, and sort of got to experience a lot of different cultures and backgrounds. And so when I came back home, actually, from my latest post in California, I really took a hold. I have some family that's from the east side, and I was very fortunate about taking this position under the previous administration, and this current administration decided to keep me on, so I'm thankful for that and happy to continue working.
My travels, I'm originally from Colonial Beach, Virginia. That's where I grew up, and most of my, I can't say most anymore, a great part of my administrative career is in Virginia. I moved to Ohio in 2011. I was in Cleveland for 6 years, doing some work in schools there, and then came to Reynoldsburg in 2017. So this is my fourth year superintendent.
I think for me, it was my wife and I trying to find a place to raise our family. We had two young kids, and we lived not too far off from Reynoldsburg, actually, just across the road on Broad Street. And the first thing that attracted us were the school districts and the opportunities that were there. Previously, before being mayor, I was a teacher in Columbus City Schools. My wife is a teacher, and so that educational component was huge. And the opportunities that the school district provides to every student were phenomenal, and even more so now. That's kind of what brought me there, and then the rest of it is, again, seeing a lot of the things that everybody's talked about, some of the stagnation, some of the status quo that have been going on in Reynoldsburg for some time. It was just, it's definitely time for a change and a new energy. That's one of the reasons why I kept Andrew on. He and I pretty much are lockstep in terms of the ideas of development and how we want to see the community be a little bit more user-friendly, connected all the way throughout. We want to improve our park system, we want to improve our streets, we want to improve our roads, and to do that we need to bring business in. So we worked on the comprehensive master plan, which was done before I got here, and then we finished off an entirely new zoning plan, which is not as exciting as it sounds. What that allows is businesses to kind of streamline the process to come into Reynoldsburg, so they know that it is very open for business, very friendly, and that in itself helps generate revenue to get all of those amenities that everybody wants, to attract those millennials, to attract those young families. It's park space, it's walkability. That's what people are looking for, and that's what we're going to do in Reynoldsburg.
Melvin, you came in during a very contentious time, obviously, with the strike of 2015. How has the school system changed, and what do you want to do in the future to make it even better?
I think when that took place in 15, I'm coming 2 years later, and one might think, if you've never experienced that, you know, 2 years is enough time to get over a strike. No, not really. So we had to do a lot of healing during that time so that we could restore some relationships. To be basically a sense of collegiality in terms of getting things done and working together. We worked quite well at that over the last few years. That's enabled us to provide more opportunities for kids from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade and beyond, for that matter. Expanding those programs and being able to have resources to make that happen and doing that in a way that's been beneficial for kids and for the entire community. Really proud of the fact we have so many kids who graduate from high school who also finish their associate's degree at the same time. That to me is amazing, and it's a tribute to the programs that we've put in place and the support we've gotten to make those things happen. But it's quite a struggle to continue to work through what was a strike, and here we are, 6 years later, and it's still a topic of conversation. We still have to look back at that time and make sure that we're continuing to mend those fences and everybody's on the same page.
It's much more polite than I would have answered that one. I was on the Board of Education at the time, and just really what it did is I don't recommend change by strike for any school district. However, I don't think that the city and our school district would be what it is unless we went through those growing pains. Terms like equity, equality, fairness were not really things that we were holding on to as a district prior to the strike. And what the strike did is it brought out a lot of things that are out there that people were unaware of. And I think that when you have those conversations, when you recognize that one building has this and another building does not, that's not just equality, that's just it's a tragedy to all the students. And so I think that we were able to learn from that and continue to grow. And that's where I think the key is. But yeah, the wounds are still there. People still talk about it. But again, we're a better district. We're a better community having suffered those things together.
I'd probably add, in reference to equity, with everyone having those conversations now and being aware of what those things mean, for us, that's kind of what we've done since the very beginning. 2 to 3 years before any of these conversations started, we were already doing that work and talking about how our AP enrollment looked. What did our get the population look like? How were our buildings resourced? So we were having those conversations early on before any of the national conversation about equity began. So I'm pretty proud of that as well.
So every town has a reputation. What do you wish people who didn't live in Reynoldsburg knew about Reynoldsburg, like the real Reynoldsburg?
Well, I think I like to typically say this, and I've said this in the past, that you know I think Reynoldsburg of the past is kind of this sleepy big brother. A lot of people don't know that we have 40 to 45,000 residents right now, and the new census will show that when it's fully published. And so I think for us is we're changing a lot of minds about who we are and where we're going. I think a lot of people are starting to take notice of that. I think we're proud of sort of the history and the birthplace of the tomato, and certainly a new tagline of City of Respect. But I think we're also taking that forward, creating more jobs, opportunities, and growth, that we're, you know, open arms for business and new residents. So I think, you know, when you start to look at the metro, I think hopefully people on the east side will start to take notice that, you know, we're a force to be reckoned with, and certainly have a lot of things going for us. And I think we're going to continue showing that moving into the future with a lot of the great initiatives that the mayor has provided.
We're not what everybody thinks we are. And until you kind of come into Reynoldsburg, it's very much a family orientation. We all know that social media is a wonderful thing and a terrible thing all at the same time. But we have an incredibly passionate community that cares deeply about what goes on in Reynoldsburg. And it's one of those things where we can complain and rip each other, so to speak, on social media, but when somebody from outside of Reynoldsburg does it, no, that's not, you know, only we can talk about that way. And I think that that's part of the issue that we want to get across, is that we are not what everybody thinks we are. We are evolving. We are always working to be a better place. And that's really what I would like everybody to get out of this.
Can we talk about the tomato? How are you the birthplace of the tomato? And shouldn't that be like Italy, or I don't know, going back even?
So it's a really great question, and I didn't quite understand it when I came, and it was because of Alexander Livingston, who started a seed company, which is still around still today. Actually, his home is owned by the city of Reynoldsburg. It's a historic landmark there in the city. We're actually going to be doing some events there later this year, so we're really proud about that. But basically, it started in the for him back in the 1800s, where he started cross-pollinating different seeds to come up with a commercially viable tomato, that being the Paragon tomato. And that's actually the father tomato of all the tomatoes that you actually eat today, which is pretty interesting and really very cool. And then in the 50s, the Ohio history basically came down and said, we're going to bestow upon you the birthplace of the commercially viable tomato. and that was the first year that really we started having the tomato festival that the city actually took over in 2019. And shout out to our events coordinator, who's really going to put on an excellent show. Last year, because of COVID, we couldn't have it. This year, it's the second weekend of August. And so we're really excited about that. We've got some national acts that are coming out. Everyone is you know, it's almost like a smaller version of the pumpkin show, but it's all about the tomato. So.
Tomato is great. It's maybe not as versatile as the pumpkin, but no, it's the tomato is kind of an interesting thing. It is, again, it's a symbol of our city. You'll see it around in our designs and our logos and things of that nature. And at the Tomato Festival, to celebrate that, we're going to have a tomato war where basically we throw tomatoes at each other. It was really good when we did it in 2019. Nobody knew exactly what to think of it, but now it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be one of those signature events. I'll be there, and I'm sure that no one will spare a throw of a tomato at the mayor of Reynoldsburg.
Side note, I can remember crying in elementary school that we lived in a tomato town. Like, why can't it be strawberries? It's something like, yummy, I hate tomatoes.
I would like to point out, too, that the mayor's favorite food is pizza, so he does host the pizza competition. There's also a salsa competition. I won second place in 2019. I just want to put that out there. So going for the gold this year, but it's exciting time.
And Chris, you know a thing or two about pizza, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's kind of coincidental that because my grandfather started a pizza shop originally in 1957 on Livingston Avenue and then moved to Reynoldsburg in 61. And that's where my family's pizza shop still is. And it's Vic's Pizza. But it's just coincidental that it's tomatoes. And I think that's why I hate tomatoes, because I ate a lot of pizza sauce my whole life. So I'd be like, couldn't it be anything other than tomatoes? But yeah, I know a thing or two about some pizza sauce and tomatoes.
As the outsider who came just 4 years ago, I actually didn't believe it when I first moved here. Like, no, there's no way the birthplace of tomato is here. Yeah, it's a real story. And I'm pretty proud to be associated with that now. I get to tell that to people back home in Virginia, and they're like, you're crazy. Yes, this is a real story.
So what is it like to do business in Reynoldsburg, and how can it be better?
I think a lot of it is we've tried to take some steps to make sure that everybody knows that we are open for business. We get phone calls on a daily basis about things. I think what we're doing now, in addition to the zoning plan, which helps make things easier, we're trying to utilize all tools in the development toolbox. We're trying to make sure that businesses that come in, that we're utilizing, working with Jobs Ohio, we're working with other developers, we're working with property owners that are looking to sell everything. We're doing all that we can to kind of attract businesses to come here, because we know that that's just the lifeblood. L Brands is our biggest employer in the city. But we're not going to ever bring another L Brands to Reynoldsburg. So what we have to focus on are those small businesses. We have to track those entrepreneurs, those people that are just starting out that eventually may turn into the next L Brands or turn into the next Starbucks or something like that. It's those types of businesses that we want to take advantage of, those people's ingenuity, the thing that kind of makes everybody really proud to be American, that ingenuity aspect of it. The logistics of it, you know, Director Bauscher can talk about as far as the zoning plan. We've had people come in and they say that they want to open this or they're looking to do that, and we tell them what the process is and how much shorter it is in our community as opposed to somewhere else, and they don't believe us, much like the tomato story. They just look at us like, really? That's all you have to do? And I think that's helping kind of get people to understand that, no, we want development. We want people to come here. We want to transform our community into one that is vibrant and growing, and it's just letting people know that we are not what we used to be. We are encouraging these things now.
Yeah, I guess to couple that point, you know, when we redid our zoning code, we needed to understand that we had a lot of room to catch up, and we needed to rethink how we were doing businesses, not only for development, but also the existing businesses that were there. And so we worked with MORPC. In fact, actually, we cut down a lot of our timelines. What I like to call is cutting through the red tape and getting rid of the bureaucratic mess that didn't necessarily need to be there. When you're over-regulating things, you're just costing more money to those small businesses for them to get up and started, or development costs that sometimes 25% is just them trying to get something to the table to get something approved. And that's really backwards way of thinking, especially when we're in a housing crisis currently right now and we can't keep up with the demand. So for us, I think what we needed to do was we needed to shorten that time span. And that's what we did. In fact, we bring it down to where you only need one commission meeting to get through Planning Commission. You don't have to go through a long drug out process. In addition, I think the mayor has done an excellent job. He's done local business spotlights. We go to a lot of the chamber meetings, and so it's activating the current businesses that are there. Speaking of our agrarian roots, we do have the Department of Agriculture in Reynoldsburg, which is great. But beyond that, it's also bringing in new ones. And I know if you've read the Dispatch last week, we obviously have the Christian Missionary Alliance that's coming to the Bryce Kmart side. And I think when we talk about redevelopment and new businesses, it's focusing on those types of jobs, medical jobs that are coming into the community, and also making sure that we're doing everything in our power to make sure the small businesses, especially after this pandemic, are going to be successful moving into the future.
I think for the school district, that business element is also pretty important, because we look to have partnerships between business and school to make things happen at school and in the community, creating opportunities for kids to learn about different pathways. Our high school is set up in two pathways. That's how students select their course offerings. So they get real life experiences in the workplace to figure out things they want to do, and I've always said, more importantly, things they don't want to do. So it's those partnerships are crucial to how we actually move forward. So we're always looking for new and different ways to get kids involved with those types of things.
To answer your question a little more directly about what it's like to do business in Reynoldsburg, I've had the honor of, from being an infant to now, I see customers come in week in and week out and get pizza and get to know Reynoldsburg's history, and, you know, my parents know people by name, and people know me as the girl who used to live upstairs, and their family. And I think it's been, my mom always says, like, we have the best customers. We have loyal customers in the city that, you know, have a habit of coming in and ordering Fridays at 5 o'clock, every Friday at 5 o'clock. Note to self, order pizza on a different day at a different time, and you might get it a little sooner. But we have faithful customers, and my parents expanded from a 900 square foot building to, you know, purchasing Kano Hardware. And it's, I don't know, 9,000 square feet, 10,000 square feet, and they've tripled their business in 4 years. And none of that would be possible without the community and having those people, you know, who believe in us and are family to us. So from my perspective, it's been, I try not to get emotional, but it's been very sweet to be a business member in the city of Reynoldsburg.
You're listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, Exploring Neighborhoods, Reynoldsburg. Recorded in front of a live audience on April 28, 2021. Speaking are Mayor of the City of Reynoldsburg, Joe Begeni, Superintendent of Reynoldsburg City Schools, Melvin J. Brown, Owner of 1883 Local, Christine Legeski, Director of Development, City of Reynoldsburg, Department of Development, Andrew Bauscher, and our host, Opinion and Community Engagement Editor at the Columbus Dispatch, Amelia Robinson. On WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, 106.3 FM Newark, streaming online at WCBE.org, a broadcast service of Columbus City Schools. We'll return to the conversation after a short break.
Two movie critics, two big egos, make for one fun and enlightening podcast about movies and movie makers. Join John DeSando and Johnny DiLoretto as they embark on a new cinematic adventure, Double Take, a show exploring where great films converge with and diverge from other great and not so great films.
Whether you're a casual moviegoer or a serious cinephile, you'll find at least one, maybe even two insights worth your time. Double Take, critical, sometimes confrontational, always amusing conversations about movies. Find it on WCBE.org. org's podcast experience.
Hey. Columbus will be welcoming a new police chief in the next few weeks. On the future of policing in Columbus, your host Edie Driscoll will discuss the challenges ahead for this chief with an activist, a cop, a minister, and a member of the chief's advisory panel. Find us at WCBE.org podcast experience and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Columbus Metropolitan Club. You're listening to Exploring Neighborhoods, Reynoldsburg. Let's get back to the conversation.
So we're emerging from the pandemic. Hopefully it won't be around much longer. What do you think you learned from the pandemic, and what do you think will, what thing will you take with you on the other side that kind of is a lesson?
I think we've learned to be innovative and take on restrictions and still make things happen. I think back to when Governor DeWine closed schools on March 13th of last year. 3 weeks prior to that, we already were prepped and ready because we were having those discussions about that potentially coming. So when that shift happened, we were ready the very next week to continue to provide instruction to our kids. But in that process, we also learned that there are a lot of kids who are engaged. We need to engage kids in different ways in the classroom so they can be more successful. I think we've identified additional disparities in terms of how we go about addressing equity in classrooms and schools. I also think we've learned from a technology standpoint how to use platforms effectively, both in person and virtually, to make things happen. I would imagine we've been doing virtual teaching for quite a while, and our kids came back full time a few weeks back, but we're still doing an element of that. I think we'll retain some of that in terms of how we schedule meetings and how we get large groups together. So I think we've learned a lot through this process, and I don't necessarily think it's been an interesting, chaotic year, but the fact that we've learned so many things is definitely a benefit that we're going to hang on to.
For me, it's understanding what the community goes through on a day-to-day basis, and then all of a sudden when the pandemic closes, it comes down and businesses are shut down and the communities are affected, and seeing the response of the community in general. You're talking about businesses like Vic's that, you know, that did remain open, that were still able to get the pizza out, and I think that people were purposely now going out of their way to support local businesses because those are the people that support, you know, your local Little League teams, things like that. The city learned very well that without those small businesses, the city really is nothing. We're not. So we ended up using about $227,000 worth of CARES Act dollars for small business grants. There were a couple of times where I took a stack of applications and my mask, and I walked up and down Main Street and knocked on every business and said, "I'm here from the government and I'm here to give you money." I got a lot of odd looks at that, I grant you, but it's something that I felt that we needed to do. We needed to support our small businesses when they needed when they need the help, because they're always there for us. They're always working with us. And the rest of it is just, again, seeing blessing boxes where communities are putting up food repositories all over the city, things like that that are helping everybody that are a little bit more needy than the others, working with our Heart Food Pantry from the Mid-Ohio Food Bank and working with our police department to do traffic control to make sure that people can get in and out, because the need was so much greater, especially in the early stages of COVID. It's about taking advantage of a really bad situation and making the best of it for as many people as possible. And we have to keep that going. It doesn't stop when the masks come off. We have to keep going.
How's the city doing now? Do you feel like, did you lose businesses, or how's this?
No, we actually, we've gained a number of businesses. We always see the proverbial ribbon cuttings and things, which are really awesome. I enjoy doing that because it just shows that you're seeing people's lifelong dreams come to fruition right in front of you. So we are bringing those businesses, we are seeing that stuff. As a city as a whole, I'll give you an idea. Something happened recently in the city, and it was really good news that I'll have to share with you at a later time when it becomes official. And I enjoyed it for about 35 seconds, and then I'm like, what's next? Because I'm not satisfied. And Andrew is also never satisfied, because as much as I think I'm moving fast and wanting to improve, Andrew's the one that's like 50 paces ahead of me, and I think I'm fast. But it's always pushing forward. It's always trying to find innovative ways to be better and not stopping, because I think the moment that you stop or that you feel satisfied, then you start to regress and go back the other way. So we can't do that. And it's the same thing with the school district. I had a number of times, and we still talk probably almost as much as when I was on the board. But it's you can't. It never ends. There's not an end game to any of this, even with COVID. So I think it's just keeping moving forward.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Mayor. So 32 businesses actually were started in 2020 in Reynoldsburg, which is kind of crazy to think about when some of them did not last. And so I think what it did in some cases was it expedited maybe a process of some of the failing businesses, but I think it gave an opportunity for this this rebirth and growth of other different types of businesses, especially with, as you had mentioned, sort of the push for more local Main Street type businesses. And I hope that's really paid dues for Vic's. And I think for us, is we're going to continue moving down that path. We had a very, very busy year. We had more permits than we ever had previous to that. And, I think we're going to have a very productive 2021 season. And I think you're going to continue seeing more and more growth and opportunity. Columbus partnership with us on a particular park off of Bryce Road. So I think we're working really well with our neighboring communities to bring, you know, more things back to us. And of course, we're one of the proud stakeholders for the Rapid Five, which is trails and greenscape and even the waterscape. And so Blacklick Creek definitely plays a huge role to that. And I think the city is getting more and more aggressive with some of our economic development strategies and utilizing those terms. So I think we have a very bright future.
Yeah, one of my kind of hopeful things I've held on to is I consider myself a creative person. And when you look back through wars and different pandemics, that's when a lot of the most innovative, great ideas have come from. And I think when things like this happen, that we don't give ourselves credit as humanity for our ability to dream up new ideas and come up with something else. You think about Uber and different things that people have come up with just based off of crisis. And I really think we have just started to see people's dreams come alive from the pandemic. It has shifted them from being home a lot to like, what am I doing with my life? Or trying to resolve their problems. They're no longer content with doing what they were doing before. And I think in general, like, we just have a really bright future in our world because so many people are going to have these dreams they've sat on. Life came to a stop, and now they're not just continuing on anymore. They're saying, wow, I can do this a little bit different. And I'm one of the businesses that applied for a permit, you know, last year and started major construction during a pandemic. I don't advise it. It's really expensive and it's a pain in the butt, but I am fighting for my dream that I honestly, if it weren't for the pandemic, I would be doing my job. But because my job stopped because I'm a wedding photographer and I didn't have any weddings, I was able to really think about what I wanted to do. And so I think there are so many other people developing out of that same heart. Like, you know what? I got the time. Let's go. Now is the time.
Yeah, talk about hopes and dreams and all that sort of thing. What is your biggest wish for Reynoldsburg's future? The Reynoldsburg of the future. Let's think about that.
I'm going to answer it first because I'm full of hope over here. I think that I'm so fortunate because we're building, you know, a wedding venue. There's no venue in our area really at all. Like, even Pickerington and Side Cities don't offer an event venue quite like ours. And, you know, I am so excited about that, but I'm so excited to be on the cusp of attracting other businesses and other families and saying, hey, this is a really cool place. Join me. Like, I need a coffee shop close. I need some stores to shop at. Like,
ice cream.
Yeah, I hope that for me, I just hope that by me taking a fight to get this open during the pandemic, that it inspires other people that they can do it too, that you can do it even despite everything telling you no, and that it's gonna be a happening place. I hope we can draw people to downtown Reynoldsburg for businesses and families, and then be excited about the future of Reynoldsburg. I'm excited, so.
What she said.
Anybody else?
I was building on that excitement, having an opportunity for our school district to be showcased among the best school districts that are out there. We've always talked about the idea of being competitive in Central Ohio. I'm not satisfied with that. I want to be one of the best in the country and then eventually one of the best in the world. So having those types of aspirations and always trying to change and evolve as you go through time allows us to have some room to grow and know that everything's not going to be perfect tomorrow, but we're going to make it as perfect as possible and continue to work. And knowing that while we're chasing perfect, we're never going to get there, and that's perfectly fine. So having that spirit of always looking forward and trying to continue to grow is something we're excited about.
Yeah, we're going to be moving to the next part of our program here where we take the questions from the audience here in the room and also on our live stream. But very last question from me. I'm sure you guys are sick of all my heart questions. What's the one thing you wanted to say here that you didn't get the chance to say? I know a lot of times you go to these things, you don't say what the one thing you want to say.
I'll start off. Some of the things that we've been able to do in the city, you know, obviously you mentioned, you know, the issues with the pandemic. There's obviously been a lot of social unrest in the last year. And I believe that between our council, our city attorney, my office, we have kind of led the way in a number of initiatives, whether it's issues for fair housing, anti-discrimination based on income, civilian review board that was endorsed by the Fraternal Order of Police, the Citizens Police Academy. We are also going to be hiring. We have 29 well-qualified applicants for a social worker that I'll actually be working with our police department to provide those services that are needed to those that are most vulnerable. Those are the things that usually don't typically grab the big headlines, like selling the Kmart location and things like that. But when we talk about being a city of respect, that's where the real stuff is. When you actually get those true changes, those legislative items in there, that it's going to make a difference in the lives of our community. And I am so proud of what our council has done, what our administration has done, and what our community represents, because we all want the best for Reynoldsburg. We all do want to be better together.
I'd probably say two things. One, to give a lot of times when you're in the bubble, you think that the things that go poorly or wrong are just our problems, but they're everywhere. But knowing that, and talking with my fellow superintendents in the region, and knowing that we're out in front of a lot of things that are happening, we're setting trends, we're putting out ideas that others are now considering. So being at the forefront of making those things happen is really, really important to us, and I'm really proud of that. Also would need to speak to our relationship with the city. We know if we need anything and vice versa, we can have it. It's just that simple. We don't have a whole lot of I'll use your term red tape to have to cut through in order to make things happen. I simply pick up the phone and call the mayor and we can get things rolling. So having that type of relationship, I think it's important that we put that out there as well.
I think what I would speak to the most, just being both a business owner and growing up in Reynoldsburg, is that change is a really hard thing for most people. I happen to be a human being that loves change, and I know not everybody likes change, but I think it could be really hard to be in this position and this administration to come in where the city really needs some forward progress. And I think if you listen, you're going to hear naysayers, because people just naturally don't like change, and they don't always know like what's best for the city. And so if I honestly could say anything, it would be like not to listen to social media and to take a step back and call like your community leaders, get involved, find out like what the real issues are, and be flexible. Like, don't just grow older day by day and be set in your ways, but know that change really produces growth, and you're not going to grow if you're not, you know, changing. So that's just one thing I really hope, that our city can be more accepting to change and have hope that it's going to cause us to grow.
I think they had it covered. I'm good. Okay.
Well, it's a CMC tradition to take questions from the audience, and I think Jane Scott from CMC has some. Please be sure to keep your questions short and to the point. You have any questions?
I do. I have some from the audience, and thank you. Boy, this has really been an upper today. I love it when we have some positive, hopeful messages, so thank you. Mindy Wright, biggest challenge for your students, and what are you doing as a district to help them?
I think that's a multifaceted response. I think as our kids come back next school year, we want to be really focused on what their social and emotional health looks like. We want to make sure that their well-being is taken care of, when typically past history was to focus on test scores. From the very beginning of my arrival, we began talking about the fact that when you change classroom environments and you make them more, give kids more of a sense of belonging and connectedness within that classroom, that's how you raise test scores. You don't test kids to raise test scores. So being attentive to those personal things that kids bring with them, I think will be huge hurdles. And we're ready to tackle those challenges, but I think those will be challenges indeed.
Bill Lafayette from Regionomics asked the question, in the InSight 2050 projections say that our region's demographics will change, more singles and empty nesters, many more seniors, and a smaller percentage of families with children. How is Reynoldsburg responding to this, and how do your demographics reflect this or not?
I'll start off in the beginning part of it. Diversity of housing and accessibility to housing. While we are happy with some of the developments that have come in for housing, one sorely missing product in Reynoldsburg right now is senior living facilities for people that are not necessarily living in a retirement home, but want to be able to at least still do the things that they normally do. There's a lack of that, and I think we need to make sure that as a city that we are respectful of that and try and attract those in there, because what we don't want to do is we don't want anyone to ever have to leave Reynoldsburg because they can't find housing. And that also goes along with everyone else. You need to have a wide variety of housing in a community to make sure that you're meeting all of those particular groups that are there. And that's one of the things that Andrew and I are constantly talking about, especially when it comes to housing.
Yeah, I think for me, it's working with the developers and not considering them just evil money hungry, you know, and I think that was part of the thing. You have to continue to grow and evolve, and I like the word missing middle housing, and that's really what you're talking about, is really sort of those walkable areas. It doesn't have to be, you know, downtown Columbus dense, but it can be denser than what we currently have now. I think when you build more and more suburban type communities, it's more of a tax on the roads and the infrastructure that we have to actually maintain and take care of. So if we're going back in and we're re-looking at some of the infill development, just to throw this out there, we have 2% of the metro's population. We did 10% of the permitting last year. So we are definitely taking on our fair share of the burden and continuing to pay that forward. I think when you look at what we're doing, we're adding in townhomes and condominiums and taking a look at, you know, the traditional Main Street type single family homes that are outside of our downtown type neighborhoods. We're seeing more and more of those pop up. And so I think we're really happy about that. I think we're taking that challenge and we're certainly, I think, producing.
I live in a landlocked community. I live in Bexley. There isn't any place for us to expand. What about Reynoldsburg? Do you have land to build on? Do you have places to go that let the city get larger in square feet?
It's limited. While sometimes some people may say that I have like one of those risks boards of, you know, Franklin County, Lincoln County, Fairfield County, and, you know, I'm ready to invade and take other territories, and I am. a lot of it is just based on, you know, this idea of growing a little bit because we want to take advantage of those things. We want to work with our partners in Etna Township. We want to work with our surrounding communities. There's just not a lot left. So when we talk about infill and working with what we have, it's part of it. But at the same time, we do have to open those opportunities outside of Reynoldsburg because, again, we want to be able to provide as much as possible. And as much as I would love to have developers everywhere, it is a lot easier to build on land that is open and empty as opposed to redevelopment. So there has to be a balance with it. But the landlocked community does concern me because once you're at that point, then you have nowhere but the interior to do, which is a much more difficult task. Again, not opposed to it or afraid of it. It just makes things a little bit more unique.
Absolutely agree. And I think working with our partners at COTA and WARPC, certainly trying to push for, just like our sister city there in Bexley and Whitehall, trying to put mass modal transportation, BRT route on Main Street to get you into downtown and then West Broad out. Obviously, we're going through a lot of that. I serve on the technical advisory committee for that. And I think we're really, really excited about what the transit-oriented type of development can actually benefit. And I think we utilize Bexley as a really great model. So thank you for bringing that up. In fact, in 2018, we invited all of city council members to actually go, and we took them on a bus tour of different areas because we wanted them to understand that the Reynoldsburg of now doesn't necessarily need to be the Reynoldsburg of the future. So we took them to Bexley, we took them to Hillier, we took them to Grandview, and we said, look at all of these exciting development. We can have that too. We just have to re-look at what we're doing.
Julie Keckstein from PNC has a question. Can the panel share the stats, boundaries, largest employers, and how do you compare with peer cities, or who are your peer cities in the Midwest and maybe in the U.S.?
Boundaries. I mean, we 43068 zip code, and we extend, you know, pretty much between Broad Street, Main Street, almost to the Etna Township line, past Lincoln County. We also have a little sliver of Fairfield County. Our largest employer is L Brands, their distribution center that's right off Broad Street. Our second largest employer is our school district, which is actually one of the things that was for me important to try and diversify our economy, because I don't think that they need to be the second largest employer. I'd love to have some other ones in there to provide some of those resources. What was the other part of some of the other demographic questions?
Any peer cities in the Midwest?
Oh, we are always compared to a number of different. I would say probably the one that is most common would be Gahanna, Pickerington, Grove City, I think are some of the ones that are out there. And I think we all have the same issues in every city. Again, it's nothing too different from anyone. It's just a question of how innovative we can be to solve some of those problems.
Doug Buchanan, Columbus Business First. Wondering, what was the pace of residential development prior to your zoning change, and what are you projecting it to be? And then a little bit to Christine's point, what are your citizens saying about that, and what do you expect them to say about that going forward?
That's a fantastic question. So I would let you know that MI is building 354 homes on Wagner Road. That is the first single-family home development in the last 20 years for the city of Reynoldsburg. So your answer would be almost nothing. We really couldn't do a lot. There was a lot of red tape and a lot of pushback. And I think that people utilize, they break down housing into owner-occupied and rental-occupied, and people that are renting or living in apartments are just bad people, and that's just not true. The younger generations and even the empty nesters are living differently than what their fathers and mothers did before them. So you have to meet the facts and the challenges head on. You have to understand that those types of housing are a product that is in high demand. We certainly need to make sure that we're building that. And so, you know, for us, I think we're doing that. What was the second part of the question? I'm sorry. Oh, yes. How's the community feel? So it's hit or miss. You have great business owners like Christine that are absolutely all in favor of new residents. It's only going to grow the businesses that are there. I think we hit sort of a threshold of different types of retail businesses that could come, and without adding additional types of housing, you were not going to be able to expand. And I think we do get pushback from some residents. I think the idea was that we needed to work on this in a collaborative manner. We need to understand that we can't listen to the 10 loudest in the room, but we need to listen to the quiet majority that are sitting back and saying, yeah, this is fine because we really want to live in your community. And, oh, by the way, I think it does feel good that somebody wants to be your neighbor, and maybe we should take a look at that side of the coin instead of always taking a look at the negative.
People might think it has a strain on our space and capacity in classrooms, but to us, that's a good problem. We want to have to be in a position where we have to expand. So that tendency to want to have people come into our communities and be newly ingrained in the things we're doing, we get excited about those things. So I'm hoping that others pick up on that as well. And you're absolutely right. You have to listen to the quiet majority, not necessarily the 10 loudest folks in the room.
Hi, good afternoon. Connor Brintlinger with American Structure Point. Touched on a little earlier the booming Nepali population in Reynoldsburg. And just kind of curious from a housing, from an education, business standpoint, how's that population getting along in Reynoldsburg right now?
We're loving it. We actually have the first Bhutanese American elected to office in Reynoldsburg in the entire country ever. So we have that representation there. We have a number of businesses. We have some of the best Nepali restaurants and even more opening small businesses. Everything that you want to see with these communities growing up with that. I know at the time when I was on the school district, I think the numbers were almost 1 in 7 students, give or take. Is going to be, yeah, maybe a little bit more than that at this point, is part of the Bhutanese Nepali community. And those are the students that, you know, you embrace them, you have fun with that, because again, it brings to light all of those issues with diversity. We're happy to have them. I love the decorative nature. I am not artistic in any way, shape, or form, but if you go by some of our communities and their houses, they're so ornate, so pretty, and they're friendly all the way around. Once, you know, you kind of get the idea of the kind of the circumstances of living in suburban life, but they're just, it's great. And I welcome the diversity.
From the school perspective, it's given our kids and our staff an opportunity to see that not everybody's lifestyle is the same as ours, and that's okay. Having an opportunity to merge cultures and come together to understand and be part of each other is exciting. Our EL population, when I first arrived, was roughly 8% of our population. We're now pushing 14, so that tells you how we're continuing to grow. That's exciting, and it gives us an opportunity to really make a change, not only in Reynoldsburg, but in terms of the world. We can't get better if we continue to do the same thing. So we can get new people in conversations and at the table to have those conversations. We become much richer in doing that, so it's exciting for us.
I think that Nepali community in general have been givers more so than just takers, and I think that's what's really important about diversifying cultures and welcoming them in. They're entrepreneurs and educated people, and they're ready to dive in, and you know, seeing our board already change and things, they're just not afraid to get involved. And I think that's a really good sign for a culture to come in and want to be a part and not just take but also give.
Great question, Connor. I appreciate that. They are extremely entrepreneurial as well. A lot of small businesses, dress shops and restaurants, and shout out to Sagrams, who actually in 2020, I think, was named 614 Magazine's best new Asian restaurant, and that's right on Main Street, so go check it out and go eat there. So just really, really proud of what they've wanted to do and sort of just integrating and taking sort of our agrarian roots. By the way, they have some of the best gardens in their backyards, better than I could ever do. So just it's very, very cool.
Mr. Mayor, I want to congratulate you. I'm a longtime resident of Reynoldsburg. You have squared the corners, and your administration, it's wonderful to see what you've done in the last several since you've been mayor. I have two questions.
Oh, you have questions. To keep going? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I have two questions. One is lighthearted. One is more serious. One is, you're doing a lot of curb cuts on Main Street. We spent millions of dollars to make that Main Street beautiful. Whether or not you ever decide to require those flowers to be replanted and the trees to be replanted, may I tip my hat to you and say I hope you do. It's one of the most beautiful parts of spring in Reynoldsburg. More seriously, is a question about, as we're growing, the traffic on Main Street and on Broad Street on Wagner Road, which is we're dumping more growth onto Wagner Road. How are you handling that? Because sometimes the travel on Broad Street and Main Street is tougher than rush hour in Columbus, Ohio.
I'm really glad you actually brought up a lot of the things with the traffic. Some of it are technological solutions. We're looking at syncing our traffic lights on Main Street, as well as working with our fire department to get what they call an opticom system, so the fire trucks can actually go through and have all green lights, but then also syncing our lights to make them more traffic flow enabled on the way for rush hour out of town or in town. But specifically, Wagner Road is a huge topic. Obviously, there's a lot of housing in that area, and it's a beautiful road if any of you have ever had the opportunity to drive in it. We are actually in the plans right now of trying to widen it in certain parts, adding bike paths, multi-purpose paths, lighting a traffic light in one area that allows for it, probably a sheep crossing sign at some point in time, because we have an area out there that where sheep are always getting out, so we may have to have a sheep crossing. But those are things we have to do, and those are not short-term projects. I know that the previous administration had tried to do a number of different things, and for whatever reason, it wasn't able to happen. But because of what our zoning plan is able to do, and because of our relationship with MI Homes, we're actually profiting off of what we're working with them to develop a TIF fund. Again, one of those tools in the toolbox to use some of the income tax or the tax revenue generated from that particular development to help pay for those improvements on Wagner Road. So as that development grows, our funds are going to be able to grow with it to actually pay for some of those improvements to make sure that those traffic issues aren't there. So you're looking at a number of things, and I could go on and on for Wagner Road on a lot of things, but the reality is it's the safety of people. We all know that a few years ago off McNaughton, a young woman lost her life as she was getting ready to walk to school. That actually is not too different from our road on Wagner Road. We have a couple of middle schools, we have a couple of church schools on there, and there's no sidewalks, there's no bike paths, there's no street lighting. It is a dangerous thing that needs to be addressed, and so we're putting those things in place, taking advantage of all of that, including, you know, working with OPWC and MORPC and everything else to get some of those grants in there to help pay for it. And right now, we are scheduled, our goal is to start breaking ground, at least on the phase one, from Main Street to Priestley in 2023. You'll start seeing some legislative stuff come up actually in the next couple of months, but we are kind of, it's one of those things you have to balance where you're getting the revenue from with some of the new development, at the same time making sure that you're making those road improvements as everything kind of grows up. So small things going all the way through there. And the other part is connectivity, the COTA bus line, getting people to be able to maybe take more public transportation as opposed to cars, making more jobs centrally located to Reynoldsburg so you're not necessarily having to drive 270 as much as what you normally would. Maybe you can go into our new facility on the corner of Bryce and Main with new medical, commercial and restaurant retail, all that type of stuff. Bring those jobs a little bit closer to home so people can work in the same community that they live in, which will help reduce overall traffic in general.
That's a very tough but fair question, mm-hmm. and it's actually one that really does need to be answered. And I think the traffic right now is a little bit more than what it needs to be. A lot of it is because we're already doing road construction with the mayor. Hadn't mentioned yet is that where ODOT is repaving all of Main Street this year. And on top of that, the city this year and next is taking on an $8 million streetscape project in our downtown. A lot of that is expanding the sidewalks. Currently right now on Main Street, we have 16-foot width for our lanes, which is far more than what is actually required. So we're taking that back down to 11. The idea beyond that is to give that back to the pedestrians and the amenities, to allow for some of those businesses down there to be able to have, you know, cafe type bistro settings. It allows for more walkability. But even more past that is it actually is going to lower the amount of semis that go down. And a lot of that is them actually slowing down a lot of the traffic. And that's what's actually putting a big taxing on the roads and the potholes and everything that's there. So for us, it's working with the MapQuest of the worlds and the Googles, doing all of the elements that we need to, so it doesn't look like it's just a highway that's running through our town, but it's actually a quaint downtown of how we all see it. But making sure that it actually feels that way, so it actually pushes vehicles that are off that don't actually belong there, and we can stop a lot of that through traffic, so it lowers a lot of that. I think to your other point, we certainly want to bring back, add in more of that landscaping in nature. The mayor just hired a service director last year. He's actually a registered arborist, and we actually have a master arborist actually on staff in the Parks and Rec Department. So that's not lost on us. We definitely are in the process of beautifying the city. At the same time, we're adding in new transportation.
That concludes today's show. You've been listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, Exploring Neighborhoods, Reynoldsburg, recorded in front of a live audience on April 28, 2021. Speaking were Mayor of the City of Reynoldsburg, Joe Begeni, Superintendent of Reynoldsburg City Schools, Melvin J. Brown, Owner of 1883 Local, Christine Legeski, Director of Development, City of Reynoldsburg, Department of Development, Andrew Bauscher, and our host, Opinion and Community Engagement Editor at the Columbus Dispatch, Amelia Robinson. More information about today's speakers, this and other forums, membership in the Columbus Metropolitan Club, and our weekly noon Wednesday events is available on our website at columbusmetroclub.org, where you can register to attend in person or participate in the live stream. The Columbus Metropolitan Club, connecting people and ideas through community conversation. Thanks for listening.